Fellow brothers and sisters of Christ, it is wonderful that we are gathered together again in our Father's house to spend some time in His company, and we definitely need His company with all the different challenges that life brings us. Today we're going to be talking about parenting. Last week we talked about marriage. Today we're going to talk about parenting, and then Pastor Josh can tell you about the next ones. There's two more. It's like, children and grandparents, right? Yeah, there we go. We got it. All right. Yes, let us begin this service today. As we begin every service, as we begin everything in the name of the God who rescued us, who saved us, who brought us into His rest, into His peace. Let us begin in the name that we were baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You have given us, Lord, this day that we get to come into Your presence and to receive from You, Lord. I pray that You would work mightily among us, Lord. Send Your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds that we may know You and grow in You, Lord, every single day. Thank You, Lord, for Your great mercies. In Your name we pray. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve Your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Of Good morning. My name is Jeff Rabe. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And welcome here on an amazing autumn morning. It is beautiful out there. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we've respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This time I'd like to invite the children forward for our children's message.
Good morning. Am I on? Am I good? And I would also like to invite two friends of mine, Mrs. Falls, if you could come up here. I'm going to need your help. And Miss Lauren, if you can come up here. Thank you, ladies. How are you guys doing this morning? Good, fabulous. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I like to teach Vacation Bible School. Did you know that? Have you ever been to Vacation Bible School? Okay, so ladies, here's the deal. I found these really cool projects that I want to do at Vacation Bible School next summer. And I need lots of stuff to do these projects. And because I'm getting old, I forget things sometimes. So I'm going to ask my friends to help me. I'm just going to read a list of some stuff I need. And if you guys could just remember it, and then you can help me later on. Okay? So here is my list of things that I need, and you guys can listen to. I need 6 dozen paper plates, 10 rubber bands.
You know what? I don't want to forget anything. I'm going to grab a pencil and a paper real quick.
All right. All right. Whatever.
I got it.
You got it. You got it. All right. I need 6 dozen paper plates, 10 rubber bands. I need some clothespins. I need some tape. I need 8 dozen ping pong balls. I need some stickers. Wait a minute. I need 8 dozen plates and 6 dozen ping pong balls, not 6 and 8. Okay. I need glue sticks, 12 cups. I need a stopwatch, and I need some yarn to do my projects. You guys got it? Can you tell me, just so I can tell if you're listening?
You betcha. I had it going right here. Okay. You need a stopwatch. 8 dozen ping pong? No, 6 dozen ping pong balls. Some glue, some tape, some yarn, hot chocolate, snacks.
How's she doing?
Bad.
She kind of missed a couple. Miss Lauren, how about you?
Good try, Mrs. Falls. We love you. This is what I had. I had 8 dozen paper plates, 10 rubber bands, clothespins, tape, 6 dozen ping pong balls, stickers, glue sticks, 12 cups, stopwatch, and yarn. But I love the idea of hot chocolate, but I didn't have that.
Wow. So how'd she do?
Good.
How come Miss Lauren did better than Mrs. Falls? Anybody know?
Because
What do you think, Chels?
I just wrote it down on paper.
So it was something really important, I told her, and she said, you know what? I should probably write this down so I can look back and see it again. Think that was a good idea?
Yeah.
You ladies are awesome. Thank you so much. There's something else from our Bible reading today, and it says, these commandments that I, God, give you today should be on your hearts. Impress them or tell them to your children. Who do you think he's talking to? Tell these to your children. He's talking to parents, isn't he? Parents, my word is very important. Tell your kids my word. And then he says, talk about it and write it down. Now, do you guys have anything like this at your house? This is 1 Corinthians 13. And this is a Bible verse that says, love is patient, love is kind. And you know where this is hanging? In my bathroom. And every time when I get out of the shower, you know what I see? Love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of right and wrong. And it reminds me, that's how you're supposed to treat people today, Mrs. A. Be patient, be kind, be loving. I also have this little stone thing by my sink in the kitchen. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That reminds me every morning, God's got a plan for me today. Do you guys have something like that at your house?
Yeah.
Written down, a Bible verse? I have this too. I have a coffee cup, and it has John 3:16 on it. Do you guys know John 3:16?
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what?
Eternal
life. So when I drink my coffee, I can see that. I actually even have a coaster. It's not really a Bible verse, but it says, all I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. And that reminds me what's really important. I know. Even if you don't have those kinds of things on your walls or in your house, Zoe and Sadie, are you guys here? There's Sadie and Zoe right there. When we go to Sunday school, I just picked up a couple. Every time that we study a new verse, we write it down on a card. And we put where that is, and we keep them all together. And then when Sunday school is over, we give these cards back and say, here, now you've got them written down. You can study them. You can look at them, and you'll never forget them. So it's really important for your parents to write it down somewhere, somehow, so we can remember it. Sound like a good idea? I'm going to check one more time before we pray. Miss Lauren, do you still remember what we need for Vacation Bible School? Can you tell us? Do you think she can still tell me?
Without the list.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I can, because I wrote it down. We need 8 dozen paper plates, 10 rubber bands, clothespins, tape, 6 dozen ping pong balls, stickers, glue sticks, 12 cups, a stopwatch, and some yarn.
So it helps to write stuff down, doesn't it? Let's give her and Mrs. Falls a hand. That was awesome. And would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your word. Help me to listen to it. and remember it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. A. That was amazing. And the rest of us. Well, in today's text, the children of Israel were being prepared by God for something big. Here's what it was. They were about to be blessed. Okay? Now, you might think that blessing shouldn't need a lot of preparation. I mean, if God is basically about to take away a lot of their problems, you would think that this is going to be really simple. But we got to look back just a little bit and see exactly how this all came together. And basically, it's like this. God came to the children of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt, right? They spent 400 years in Egypt, much of it in slavery, crying out to God that God would rescue them from the situation in which they found themselves. And eventually God came. He came through Moses. He came through miracles. He came through the plagues. He came through the death of the firstborn in every family in Egypt. The children of Israel were saved by the blood of the Lamb. The Egyptians wanted them out of town as quickly as possible. The children of Israel were even able to take a lot of the possessions, the wealth of Israel, of Egypt, as they walked out of town. And then God continued to rescue them, that when the Egyptians sent their army, God put a pillar of fire between the children of Israel and the army, and then opened the sea and allowed the children of Israel to cross the sea on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to follow them, they were swallowed up by the sea, completely destroying this world power's army all at once. And then the children of Israel were in the wilderness, where they continued to have needs like water, like food, and God continued to provide for them. And then they got to the point where they were at the foot of the mountain, and God gave them his law, and the children of Israel had already wandered away from him with the golden calf. But God was faithful and brought his children and made a covenant with them, and he said this: because I have rescued you, because I saved you from Egypt, because I saved you with my mighty hand, and I laid low this enormous country, this powerful nation, because I rescued you, you belong to me. You are my people. I have chosen you from all nations on earth, and you are mine, and I love you. And as my nation, here is what I want you to do. I want you to love me. I want you to worship me. I want you to turn your back on all other gods and all other things that would bring you comfort in this world and turn to me as the ultimate source of comfort, protection, and purpose in your life. I will be your God. You will be my people. And the children of Israel turned to God until things got good, because God continued to provide for them. He sent them manna. They were supposed to go into the land, right? And then they got nervous because they sent spies in, and they got this report that there was giants up there, and that they were terrified of these giants, and they didn't want to take possession of the land that God promised them. And God said, okay, well, now you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. But even then, God provided. He sent them manna. He sent them quail. They were fed every day. He gave them food from rock, or water from rocks. He cared for his people. Their clothes did not wear out. He continued to provide for them and to love them. And every single time things got good and smooth and easy, the children of Israel wandered away from him. And then he sent some sort of difficulty, which called the people back to him. And then as soon as that went away and things got easy, they started to wander away from him. And here was the pattern that God had with his people, or the people had with God, I guess. And the 40 years were over, and it was time for the children of Israel to take possession of the land. And God turned to his people and he said, listen, things are about to get good for you. You're about to take possession of a land, not a land that has nothing built on it, but you're going to take possession of a land that already has large cities built, that you're simply going to move into. There's already olive groves planted that are already yielding a crop. There's a place to press the olive oil. Everything is already there and in place, and you are going to take possession of it. You're not going to have to build it. You're just going to move in. There are already vineyards growing grapes, beautiful big grapes, and there's places where the grapes can be squeezed and the wine can be made, and everything is there. It's all ready for you. There are fields that have already been cleared and planted. There is grain in the silos. Everything is ready for you. And here's the really scary news. Your life is going to get good. And I don't want you to turn the blessings I am giving you into a curse. I want you to take the blessing and stay faithful. And here is how this is going to work. The only way that this is going to work is I am telling parents, it is your job. This is your job. Your job is a big job. I mean, I'm not going to knock. Your job is a big job. As parents, your job is to prepare your children for life, which encompasses a lot. I mean, it's everything from being polite to other people, being hardworking, learning how to do certain functions like sort your laundry and not turn all the whites pink. There's a lot of things that parents need to teach their children so that they will be able to function in life. But here's the part that God wants to drive home more than any other, and it is this. Don't forget. Do not forget the God who rescued you. Do not forget the God who brought you out of Egypt. Do not forget the God that saved you by his mighty hand. Do not forget the God who provided for his people in the wilderness. Do not forget the God who won the battles for the children of Israel as they took possession of the land. Do not forget the God who provided his people with a land that was fully developed and ready to support his people. Do not forget, because the temptation is that as soon as things get good, we start thinking, I did this. You want to know where all this wine came from? Came from the grapes that I grew, that I tread out. The grapes that I brewed into wine, the grapes that I put into wineskin, I did this. And I sell this, and it's all because of me. And we forget the God who provided every good thing that made it possible. The God who created the world, created the dirt, created the seed, created the grapes, made all the chemical processes work for wine to be possible. The God who made you and gave you the strength necessary and the intelligence necessary to put this whole thing together, to make it work. We forget the God who did all that, and all we see is the work we do with our own hands, and we forget the God who rescued us. And understand what that means. When God rescued his people, he brought them into a relationship with himself. He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. You will worship me and I will care for you. This is how it's going to work. You need, I have. We'll get along great, right? But when we forget God, it's not just that we're insulting him. We are denying the relationship he wants to have with us. We are denying his lordship on our life. God only wants one position in our life. He wants the middle. All right? It kind of works like this. If whatever's in the middle of your life is the thing that decides how everything else is going to be used, right? It says, okay, well, I have money, I have a house, I have a car, I have children, I have a spouse, I have all these things, and whatever's in the middle of your life is the thing that decides how all these other things are going to fit together and how you're going to relate with all of those things. That's the position God wants in your life. And the way it works is this, is that we are sitting here thinking, well, how do I live my life? And we turn to God's word and we say, well, what are God's values? What are God's desires? What's God's will in this? How is it that God wants me to live out my life? How is it that he wants me to use my resources? How is it that he wants me to relate to the people that he's given me? What is it that God wants with all of these things? And then we follow him. And he is our God. And don't forget how we got to this place, right? The children of Israel became God's people when he saved them from Egypt. He saved them, he rescued them, and he said, now you belong to me because I rescued you. Well, remember where God found you. Lost, hopeless, sinful, a mess, unable to help ourselves. The standard for getting into heaven is you have to be perfect. Anybody capable of that? I mean, even if I was to say, let's start today, just start over today, give up everything else, can you be perfect from this point on even? If you said yes, you've already lied to me. Now, you understand how this is that we can't, we have no ability to live up to God's standard, and so we are lost, and lost is bad, because lost means hell, lost means eternal suffering, lost means not only do we have no purpose in this life, not only do we not have anyone looking out for us here, not only are we living without meaning and without direction, but now we have no future. And the only thing we have to look forward to after the difficulties of this life is worse suffering afterward. But the God who made you loves you. And he loves you so much that he was willing to do whatever it took to make it so that you could be with him. He wants you back. And so the Father said, okay, Jesus, if you want to spend eternity with your friends, if you want these people that you created, these people that you love, if you want to be with them, here's the plan. You're going to have to go down there. Leave heaven, go down there. They're not going to treat you good. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to ask you all kinds of stupid questions that are going to try to trip you up. They're going to do all those things. And then at the end of it all, you've got to take the guilt of all of their sin. And you've got to pay the penalty, all of it, in entirety. And Jesus said, bring it. Let's do this. And he willingly came and he suffered death so that we could live forever. And Jesus comes to his people today and he says, don't forget. Because of what Jesus has done, I welcome you into this beautiful relationship. It is an incredible opportunity that we get to live out the lives that God has given us on earth, not just meaninglessly walking around trying to figure out how to get by, but we get to live for him, doing his work, loving the people that he has given us to love. Our job is to obey him, to listen to him, because he saved us. He says, here's what I want you to do. Now that I have rescued you, you are my people. I love you. I'll make you my own in baptism. I will feed you in the Lord's Supper. I will teach you through my word. I will guide you. I will show you what I am doing in this world, and you can come join me in my task. I want you to love me. And what love means for God is obedience. That because we are saved, we love him and obey him. We follow his leading. We submit ourselves to his teaching and to his will. And he is the one. And he says this to us. The life I will give you is good. Don't let the blessing become a curse. Don't let the good life, the blessings that I want to give you, do not let them distract you. Do not begin to take credit for the good things in your life. Don't forget the one who saves you, the one who provides for you, the one who loves you and walks with you every step of every day. Do not forget. And here is how it's going to happen. Parents, talk about it. Talk about it all the time. You know what? If your kids are like going, oh great, they're talking about it again, you're almost there. Keep going. All right? Because here's the thing. In life, the one thing you don't want is you don't want your children to forget. First of all, you don't want to forget. And that requires you to be disciplined. It requires you to be obedient. It requires you to be in church. It requires you to be in His Word. It requires you to be praying. Because when you pray, what you're doing is you're inviting God into the problems that you have in your life. And you are giving Him credit for the good things that are happening in your life. This is what God wants you to be doing, because in doing these things, it is constantly setting them into our memory. We will not forget if we keep repeating it. We will not forget if we keep on reading it. We will not forget unless we neglect. And neglecting can happen so easy, happen so slowly. Happens with all the best intentions. You know, it's like, well, my kid is sick and I've got this and that. You know what? I just don't have time for God today. We'll put it off till tomorrow, right? Well, and then one day becomes two and two becomes three, and pretty soon you're skipping church because good reasons, I'm sure, but nevertheless, we're skipping church, and pretty soon we distance ourselves from God. And the process of forgetting has begun. And here's the thing that's so important. If you are not remembering, you cannot help your children remember. In fact, one of the most frustrating things that I have as a pastor is parents that bring their children to me for confirmation or education, and I do the very best I can to teach their children, but they have been seeing an example their whole life that is other than what God wants. And what that does is set up a hypocrisy, right? Where the child hears one thing and sees another. And what does that do to a child's faith? You know? I guess Jesus is just this thing we talk about, but we don't really live it. You know, we give it lip service, but we don't really believe it. And in doing so, we damage our children's faith. But God says this. He says, first of all, remember. Remember me. Remember where I should be in your life. Remember that I should be in the center. Remember that I'm the one that you are following, that it is my will that governs your life. Remember. Remember that I am the one who rescued you. I am the one who saved you. It is because of me that you have life. You can have the comfort of knowing that you will be in heaven forever with me, but it is because of Him and Him alone. There is nothing else. And then we talk about it. We talk about it all the time. The Bible says you only have to talk about it when you get up and when you lie down, when you're walking in the way, or when you're sitting home. When you stand, you know, only then, that's it, which would pretty much be all the time. That when something good happens, the first thing out of your lips is praise God for providing for His people. You know, when something is needed, you say, let's pray to the God who provides that He will give us what we need. That when we're trying so hard to learn this detail of algebra, that when life gets stressful and difficult, we teach our children to turn to the God who is our comfort and the one who can get us through the difficult times of life. That in all circumstances, in anything, whether it be good or bad or anything in between, that we always turn to God. It becomes habitual. It becomes a lifestyle. It just becomes part of who we are. We belong to him, and that is all there is. We live that in front of our children, and when we fail in front of your children, when you fail to keep God's law, then you exercise the grace and the gospel in front of your children as well, and that is this. When you fail in front of your children say, I messed up. I fell short. I let the wrong thing get in control. Let's pray together and ask that God would forgive me. Because guess what? Your children will also fail. And they need to know how to deal with that failure. And you don't just teach it to them, you model it for them. So that your life becomes a proclamation of what it means to be a person of God. You live this stuff. And if you don't know what all that means because you're like, well, what does God want from me? What is right? What is wrong? What does God love? What does God not love? What does he want me to do with my life? That's why we have Bible study. Come, be a part of it. Dig through this book with us. We will help you figure it out, but also be in that book. Read that book together. As a family, as a couple, read it together, absorb it together, so that as you guys grow in relationship with each other, you are also growing in relationship with the one who made you, the one who saved you, the one who is carrying you through this life. And this is what God wants. He doesn't want anything tangential. He doesn't want anything superficial. What he wants is to live with you in an intimate, ongoing, personal relationship at all times and in all places. And he wants us to do it with our children, passing this faith on to them. Don't worry that you're, how can I say this? Yeah, don't worry that you're talking about God too much. That's not the real problem here. The thing is this. If our children wander away from God, let it be for their decisions, not for yours. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God told Ezekiel, he said, listen, I'm sending you to speak to my people, right? And he goes, they might not listen. But if you speak my truth, at least you'll have saved yourself, right? At least you'll have done what you were supposed to do. So at this point, what I'm saying is this. God just says this. Talk about him all the time. Make him part of the fabric of the lives that we live. So that when your children leave, they simply live the faith that they've always lived. And eventually, they'll teach their children the same. Nothing better can we leave our children than eternal salvation. Everything else we teach them teaches them how to get along for this short life. This is eternal. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your incredible love. Thank you for saving us, for making us your people, for bringing us into this relationship. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to serve us in this relationship, Lord, giving us all the forgiveness of sins and the comfort and the peace and the direction, Lord, all the things that we so desperately need in this life. And Lord, I pray that we would faithfully and publicly live this out, Lord, so that our families, Lord, will see it, that we will speak it, so that they can live it. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with the prayers of our people. We pray for continued recovery for Ed Ployer following his surgery and the various procedures that he had. Pray that you would heal his body and give him strength to endure, to be fully recovered. Lord, we pray for Charlie Kirk's family, that they would look to you as the source of comfort and peace and strength, and that you would give those things to them. Lord, we pray for Steve and Janet Thompson, as Steve has chronic lymphocytic leukemia. For Steve, we pray specifically for healing and strength and patience at this time. And for Janet, we pray for wisdom and strength as she cares for Steve. Lord, we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit so that we would remember that you are the source of our blessings. Help us to tell our children the stories of your faithfulness. Guide us that we would rejoice in you both in times of plenty and in times of scarcity. Help us to model apology and forgiveness to our children, and guide us to raise our children in the faith. All these things we ask in your Son's holy and precious name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.
Oh, glorious day.
Please stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Yours is the victory.
seated. At this time, I'd like to excuse the children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and meet our DC Lauren back there to go over to Sunday school. But a couple other announcements that I have for you. The first is actually we have a quick video, I believe, about Operation Christmas Child. So please enjoy that. All right. Samaritan's Purse really upped their game. Wow, that was solid. just want to note that we have some of the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes available in our lobby. So we will be collecting them then through November 13th. And then we will take them to a donation site on your behalf. If for some reason it gets after that date, as they said, there are various collection places you could take them up to the third week in November there. But you can bring them here before November 13th. Other things of note, we have a Club 456 event today from noon to 1:30. Next week, we are going to have somebody from our congregation will be administering, if you're interested, only if you're interested, flu and COVID vaccines will be available here. So you can look at the bulletin for details on that. As Pastor Bob mentioned, we are in the midst of a sermon series, actually. It's all about kind of God's design for your role in the family. And so the first one is all about God's design for married couples. The next one was God's design today for parenting. Next week will be what's God's design as a child. And I'm not planning on having a long sermon to the children, but rather they're going to go off to where they go, and it's going to be for adults. And then lastly, it'll be God's design for grandparents is what the fourth part will be in this series, so that'll be the next 2 weeks there. Lastly, we do still have a little bit of time for if any high school students are interested in signing up for the Arizona mission trip next summer. You have a little bit more time. You can talk to me if you'd like more details on that. Otherwise, thanks for coming today. God's blessings. I hope you have a wonderful week.